are listening to the Traditional Outdoors Podcast.
Dude, I want to tell you, I went to the mailbox the other day and had a really cool surprise. I didn't expect it. I feel very honored. For those listening, open the mailbox up and there's a brown padded envelope. And I'm like, I didn't have anything ordered. So then I look and see the return addresses from Nick and open it up and got a not for resale proof of Clumsy Predators, your new book. That was, I have to say, thank you. That was very, very cool and very cool of you to do.
Yeah, no problem, man. Proof you're my dear friend.
And so, in typical Nick fashion, I open it up, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but right out of the gate, I get to Steve. This is, quote, proof you are a dear, D-E-E-R friend. Corny, but very cool. It will be cherished always.
Yeah, I was going to get mushy, then I said to hell with it.
Imagine that.
Right, but I only have two of those. I only ordered two of those. Last time I ordered like six and they were just sitting around, but this time I only ordered two. And they didn't do that before, you know, with the proof across the front, not for resale. They didn't do that on the other one, the old one. And I got a couple hardcovers coming too, because I have no idea how that's going to look. And I promised one of those to John Mudry. I already told him, because he took the cover photo. And it's one of those moments where he just caught it perfectly with the flurry and everything. It worked awesome. It only needed a filter to become the cover. So it was pretty cool. But man, what do you think so far?
So, there's a couple things. I mean, I definitely want to get into, you know, some of the trips down memory lane I've taken so far.
But yeah,
I did have a couple of questions and I guess a few statements. For those that don't know, this is the second book that you've put out. And by the way, I definitely want a hardcover copy. I'm a sucker for hardcover books. I don't know why. If I'm given the choice 10 out of 10 times, I'm going to pick the hardcover.
Me too.
And I guess, you know, I'm kind of on the inside track a little bit because I've known what the title of this was going to be. I think we were kicking, and I say we, I was in camp with you somewhere. I think it was Michigan when you first started kicking around what you were going to call the second book if you ever put it out. But I know what my take on the title of the book is. I would like to hear, you know, kind of what your take on the title and why you gave it that title.
I gave it that title because I wrote one of the stories in it is called Clumsy Predators. And I wrote that a while ago because there was I went into the woods one morning. I didn't have a very good morning and it was really sloppy and I ended up slipping and ended up falling on my back really hard, like feet right up in the air, like, you know, ass over tea kettle. Super embarrassing. Nobody was around, but at least I don't think they were. But after I did that, I thought, you know, man, you know, I won't go into the rest of that one, but I thought, man, I'm a clumsy predator. And it kind of stuck. And I was like, hey, I really like that. And that title stuck, you know, I started writing that book in 2019. Right after I published Life in Longbows in 2018, I started working on it and the pandemic messed everything up. And then I kind of didn't want to write for a while. But Clumsy stayed with me the entire time. I was like, man, that's a good title for a book, especially for a hunting book. And I thought, you know, man is nature's clumsiest predator and I'm the clumsiest one. That was what I thought. That was the slogan I had in my mind. And I just went with it and I love it. It worked really, really well. The best titles are the ones that just come to you, and I think that one fits the book perfectly.
Well, and I guess for me, and like I said, I very early on, and I don't remember if I know it was very early on when you were talking about it and it just came up for discussion. But for me, and before I even go into this, Nick, you know I love you like a brother, but I mean it's just the nature of the beast. It fits you. Mm-hmm. And when I say it fits you, I say that understanding that I play a big part of that as well. Not as much from just the clumsy aspect of it. So for me, I relate to it because I would love to tell everybody, and I think I've said things like this before. I'd love to tell everybody I'm just a fantastic hunter, and all the animals that I've taken were just 100% skill, and I put a good bit of effort into it. But I would be lying to say I haven't stumbled my way into more animals than my fair share, right? Things that mm-hmm. hunts that just should not have gone the way they went my way. And I'll say this, I've been cherry picking. I think I told you that was a word I told you. I'm cherry picking. I have not read through the whole book yet. I'm glad. I honestly want to make this last a good bit. But there's things that I've thought about since I started reading through some of these stories, and I don't even know if they're in the book, but it just relates to not only to you, but the experiences that I have been a part of with you. You know, the torn wool hunting pants that you patched up with the flame duct tape that you borrowed from my daughter years ago. Like you said, the slipping and falling, landing on your backside. You know, that one picture that I have of you, and this isn't really clumsy, but there's certain things about Nick that when I'm thinking about some of the adventures we've had, and definitely some of the good times we've had, right? There's just certain mental images that come to mind. And as I was reading through some of these stories, those are the images that came to my mind. Some of these are in the book, some of them aren't. You know, one of my favorite photos, though, that I've taken in the field with you, and it was actually the source of a little bit of fun poked at you as well, but I think it may have been the last hunt that you did here in Georgia. But anyway,
I think I know what this photo is.
It was on McGraw Ford WMA.
Uh-huh.
And we had been hunting hard. You had had I think that was the same trip where you shot the poor tree. But anyway, we had gone in one morning up there way early in the morning, and I've got pictures of those too. And we're all standing around the truck, and I was taking some pictures, and you're just exhausted. Tom's exhausted. I'm exhausted. And you came out that day, and we had lunch at the truck. And you were sitting with your back against the little barricade that they put up to keep people from driving beyond the road. And just looking at that picture, you're sitting there, you've got your lunch, which I think was just a sandwich and a
Ziploc
bag.
I'm holding the damn sandwich. Like, oh.
Yeah. And you've got that old floppy wool hat on, and everything about what we had all put into that hunt is just etched in that one photo. And honestly, I couldn't tell you where a copy of it is, but
I couldn't find it. I want to find it. I don't know where it is either, but I'm wearing this stupid black fleece. It's like an undershirt, and mm-hmm. I've got like the wool pants on, and then I have these long lacrosse boots on. It's the dumbest looking. I look like an idiot, but I was trying to find it in the worst way.
I actually don't think you look like an idiot. I really do think you look pretty much like that whole hunt had been. I mean, there was some opportunities. You got an opportunity. I had an opportunity. I think that was the same hunt where I swore I'd never launch another 3-bay broadhead in my life. I think it was a hunt at Brandon. Actually shot a nice buck up on that same WMA. But anyway, it was one of those short weeks. I think it was a 3-day hunt. And, man, we covered some ground.
Yeah, we did.
Hunted hard.
That was a fun trip.
And there is. And there's other ones too. I mean, some of those are in this book. And some of them aren't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a photo that I took of you you were walking out of the woods joining, and I don't even know if you've ever seen it, but you were walking out to join me from a morning hunt. There's some other ones from Cumberland Island, which, you know, that hunt we will never forget. Now, we've talked about that on here. You know, we'll never forget that hunt just because of how bad it was.
No, that could have been.
But looking back on it.
Go ahead.
What's that?
No, I said that could have been a whole book, that hunt.
It could. Well, that could have been the whole book. The hunt that I'm talking about could have been the whole book. I mean, and some of those hunts at this point, I'm going to be perfectly honest, the hunts that we did in Georgia, a lot of them, partially because we haven't done one for a while, they've kind of run together. So, mm-hmm. You know, I find myself many times thinking about it as a hunt when it was actually, I think, 3 years that we did that. And, you know, thinking about, honestly, the look on your face that morning when I told you to stop and I turned around and we could hear something coming to us in a mad rush and ended up being a wild pig.
Oh, yeah.
I'd never seen one before. And I'd give anything to have been able to capture that moment, you know. But there, you know, with all the things you have captured, there's still so many little stories, little subplots that, it's not honestly, some of them we probably will never tell, but just to protect the innocent.
Maybe. I don't know. Tom's been saying he's going to publish a book someday, and he's got a bunch of stuff written down, and I got a feeling that some of that's in there.
it very well may be. But, you know, anyway, it's and just before, you know, I came down tonight to record this, I was sitting up. It's been just a horrible, horrible week of work. Been in a bad mood most of the week. And tonight went up, did a few things and was sitting, you know, had dinner, was sitting on the couch, and I reached over and I picked the book up and I started reading. And as I think I mentioned this to you right before we pressed record, but, you know, 5 minutes later, I'm literally laughing so hard. Amy and Bella think something's wrong with me. We'll get into that probably in a minute because we're all going to cherry pick and talk about a few things. But it just put me in such a good mood. And, you know, yes, this scenario that I was reading about was funny. But it's just remembering time spent with real good friends. Mm-hmm. And you know, I keep saying one of these days, and you're going to have to help me, but, you know, I've got a ton of stuff written myself that I can pull from that was submitted to various, you know, not well-read publications years ago and, you know, stuff that's on websites and so forth. It just needs a little polish. But I've got some of the same stuff. I mean, it's, mm-hmm. You've done a much better job of keeping it and capturing it over the years and being able to pull it together. But one day I'm going to do the same thing.
I think you got a lot to unpack there. But I'll just say that, yeah, for one, I did leave a lot on the table. I mean, I never wrote about the chiggers, and that's almost a saga. I never wrote about the blowing does. That always happens. You know, the banana, the orb spiders, none of that. Tom, you know, the Tom walkabout, all that stuff. Like, there's so much I didn't cover in there. And I think the reason why is because there's so much, a lot of it's, I was telling you, some of it's inside baseball. Like, it's, you had to been there kind of thing. So I was kind of going through and I was picking and choosing things because I was like, well, if I go into this, I have to set this up and I have to explain it and I have to add however many pages to do it. And if I set this up, I got to go into this because I got to add this many more pages and I got to introduce this person. And part of the challenge for me when writing this is that I had to find, like, I'm good at finding themes. I've always said I hunt experiences. And I always pick something out of every hunt. There's always something that there's meaning to me in every hunt, and I find it, and that's the theme of it, and that's what I do, and that's my talent. So I try to write around that theme And that's how these happen. So I think I try to find the perfect blend of stuff that's funny that everybody would find funny and that we would also find even more funny because we were there. So I, that was one of the concerns I have with this book, is it's like, are people not going to think it's that funny because they weren't there? But I don't know. I think they will. I think they'll enjoy it. And I've already had two people that have read it that have told me, they said, man, you've got some interesting friends. And you're probably more interesting than them as far as being, you know, a character. Because you guys are almost the straight men to my comedy. But anyway.
Well, and it's you know, it's what's weird is, and look, I'll be the first to admit, and some of that comes out in the book, by the way. I'm not always the most jolly and joyful person to be around. And I know that. I have the tendency to be way too serious way too much of the time. But at the same time, I could definitely find the humor in just about anything. And I know I'm very nostalgic. And in many cases, I think I find or I see more meaning in some things than a lot of people see. Mm-hmm. But that seeing more meaning in things than a lot of people see, I know also gives me the, I don't know the word I'm looking for here, but I'll just say, like I said, a lot of times I'm the more serious one. And I take things a lot more seriously than some, except for Tom and his plate. Oh, I shouldn't have brought that up. We'll let that
there's
one
another, there's another one.
There's definitely another one there. But, you know, it's interesting to go back and read some of this because, and the book, I mean, it's not big. I haven't looked at it. I don't even know what the page count is. You probably do right off the top of your head.
135 on this one.
Yeah, we're not talking about a huge novel, but there's a lot packed in those 135 pages. And what really gets me sometimes is to think about it. You know, I've only known you now for just over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in that 10 years time, we've had more years that we didn't do something in the field than we have that we did. I mean, you know, I've been to Michigan 2 or 3 times now. You've been down here hunting 3 times, I think, maybe 4 if you count the Okmulgee trip. We've hunted South Carolina once. I mean, it's not a lot. And my first thought, if I'm honest, if I think about life in longbows and the stories that I was in or participated in that book, and there are the stories that I participated in this book, it's hard for me to think about the fact that we have crammed all this. You would almost think this, we're making stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not making stuff up. Nope. It just, stuff finds us. And I think I almost think it finds us because we're looking for the right, not to choose your word, we're looking for the right experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's other people out there that have these same things. It's not like we're that unique, but I think we're unique in the fact that we cherish those things. Probably a lot more than some people do.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I got a quote at the beginning of every chapter, and it varies from Jace Robinson Robertson to Kevin Hart to, you know,
I like the Kevin Hart one.
I was thinking of the Kevin Hart one. The Kevin Hart one says, "I don't write, weird stuff just happens to me."
And I take note.
And I take note. Yep. And I'm like, what a perfect quote for that, because that's exactly it. Weird stuff happens to me. But I don't know if weird stuff happens to me, or like you said, if we're just observant. I think if you're observant and you just listen and you watch, and you're open to it, you see a lot of stuff. If you're so laser focused that you're just A to B to C, you know, hunt, go shoot deer, get out of there, you don't see all the other stuff. And I love the other stuff. That's my spice. So, you know, and no, I'm not the greatest hunter in the world. It's more of, I'm not bad, but I'd rather be lucky than good. That's motto. I just,
right.
You know, go ahead.
And those little things. I mean, and I'm just going to jump into one of the first things, and I'm not going to divulge the chapter. In fact, I don't even remember this chapter off the top of my head. But, you know, when I cracked the book open, I kind of started from the back and just started flipping pages, and a certain picture caught my attention, and I jumped in midway of the chapter. I still haven't read the first part of the chapter, but it was, and I have to explain this a little bit, but it was when we had walked across the island, Cumberland Island, mm-hmm. We was hunting there, and some people will know this. Some people, you know, they live on the coast or on the southern coast, and they've run into these before, but we have these, and we don't have them here, but they are on the coast. These wonderful things that we call sand spurs, which are seeds of spawn from hell.
Awful.
Is the best way I can. These things are little seeds, basically, and they have spines on them for the, and I'm assuming it's just the purpose of, you will not eat them, and they stick to your clothes, so it helps spread the seeds. But the problem with these things are, once they stick into your skin, you're not going to get them off or out of your skin without puncturing yourself multiple other times. I mean, it's not like you can reach down and just grab these things between your thumb and your index finger and pull them off, because if you do, your thumb and your forefinger are going to be pierced as well. I mean, you can't explain it until you've actually experienced it.
It's nature's barbed wire. It's awful. Right. And the barbs,
it's worse than barbed wire.
The barbs like crisp. So it's almost like a Venus flytrap closed. The barbs, like they crisscross. So if they get you one way, you pull it out, you're going to get yourself the other way. Just like you said, there's no way around it.
I mean, they're just nasty things. And Nick found these things by accident. I didn't think to warn him. It's just not something you really look for. And as much as I somewhat got a chuckle out of his unfortunate experience of encountering these things, 4 hours later, we're given the privilege of touring an historic house,
mansion, orchard.
I don't want to ruin this. It was a mansion, but I wasn't going to say that. But we were given the option to tour this historic landmark late at night, and this historic landmark has we'll call it a yard, but it's more like a courtyard of probably 3 to 4 acres of grass and live oak trees. And here it is, 10, 11 o'clock at night. I don't remember what it was late, and we start en masse, 35, 40 people leaving this hunting camp to go get a private tour of this historic landmark. And 30 seconds into the migration across this field, and of all the shrieks and the hollers and the cries from grown men who decided to wear flip-flops and Crocs, and they're encountering these sand spurs in the dark. As soon as they feel the pain, they're dropping to their butt or their knees, and they're getting more of these things embedded.
You can't
make this stuff up, but yet we're sitting there hearing it, and Nick and I, who are privy to what is now going on, are laughing uncontrollably, and every time somebody new shrieks out, it's just that much more fun. We're twisted individuals, Nick. We really are. But
the reason why they were all in Crocs and stuff, it's because they were walking around the island all day, just like we were. And I took my boots off to beat in the sand, nice warm sand, and to help my tore up feet, and found those. And that's exactly what happened with them. But you'll have to experience it. It's the setup can't even do it justice. And again, that's one of those things that nobody, I mean, how could you explain that to somebody where they'd actually believe you? Like,
right. I mean,
it's like, no way that happened. Yeah, it happened. Oh yeah.
Can you imagine the looks from some of those people if we'd have said, you might not want to wear those Crocs?
Exactly.
How many of them will wear Crocs again?
Right.
So I will be honest, that chapter, you have a picture of me in there. I swear I don't remember you ever taking it. And I don't know what the heck I'm wearing around my neck.
Oh.
The picture is so small, I can't figure out what it is. All I can see is the, you know, the cord. But I don't usually wear things around my neck, so I don't know what it was. But I don't remember you taking that photo. What was that, Hurricane Andrew?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it was Andrew. I don't remember now.
And I don't even know if I mentioned that, but yeah. I brought a hurricane with me.
Which is something else that you always do.
Always. I can't.
We have never had a hunt that it didn't. Actually, yes, we did. The first hunt you ever came. No, it rained that year.
It did.
Because that was year we yes, remember we hunted Dawson Forest. Mm-hmm. One or two afternoons, maybe it's just one day, and then we went and hunted on the private land that I had, because that's where we took the picture with the MLA banner. But remember, it came up that I think that was the same as the first trip. Again, they.
Oh, I think you're right.
They start running together, and I can't remember now.
No, it did rain in every one of them, because I remember the one we had. We were hanging out back at your house, and we had to come back because it was pouring. And we're like, well,
I think that was the first year.
Oh, that was the first year, because we went out in the last hunt we had. We were sopping wet. We sat in the rain for probably 4 or 5 hours, and it was just miserable.
You know what? I know it is, because you were hunting with that Schultz bow, and I've got the picture that you took with the Schultz bow and that Ace broadhead.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm not wrong, it's, you can see raindrops on,
yep,
on the bow.
Oh yeah, everything was rusted after that. Oh, it was bad. It was real wet. But I haven't gone down one time where I've had good weather the whole time. We usually get, you know, rain, or I get delayed or something like that, and I'm about done flying.
You just need to quit flying United.
I wasn't flying. Well, I was flying United that time. I haven't flown United since.
It was United or American. I can't remember, but I know
both suck.
Yeah, you need to drive, and we need to just keep an open schedule for travel options, and then try to pick one that they're not calling for rain, I guess.
Well, and I do agree with you though that remote working is kind of a blessing. I mean, I think, because we never had that then, and. I know for sure now that I could come down earlier and spend a week or whatever and just work when I needed to, and I wouldn't even have to worry about it. That's kind of nice now.
You're welcome. I mean, yeah. In fact, we've even upgraded the guest room, so it's no longer a day bed that you have to pull the trundle out to make into a queen size bed. We've actually got a full queen size bed in there when we finally let her lease go on her apartment. We moved a lot of her furniture in, and her bedroom furniture moved into the guest room. So
mm-hmm.
Awesome. It's even a little bit more comfortable than the last time you were here.
Yeah. And but again, that it's all about the, I mean, that's the fun part of writing these, is that it's just remembering everything, going back through my journals. But they're about the camaraderie of it. It's just about going out and having fun with your friends. It you don't have to have a crazy adventure to have fun and have an adventure. There are things that I've wanted to write about so bad, like the infamous Macon trip on the way to
Mean Streets of Macon
to Okmulgee. And I didn't even want, you know, I thought about writing about that, but I'm like, how do I even write about it? Like, the setup alone for that. And who would believe we would be in the middle of a drug deal? And I almost stopped.
Well, to be clear, we weren't in the middle of a drug deal. We drove up on the middle of a drug deal because we were lost.
Literally in the middle of a drug deal in a car.
Right, yeah.
And then
not a good situation.
Leaving and passing an oncoming SWAT truck.
Yes.
With the guy looking at us like we're crazy.
And packing more handguns than we probably should have had in two vehicles. But
I tell you what, I have never seen Tom more alert. Because I was driving and Tom just goes, no, gun it, Gun it. Wild dogs running around all over.
Shoes hanging from power lines. Yeah, it was just that was a bad situation.
Oh, man.
Who was it decided to get off of that exit for gas?
I don't know, but we needed to do it. And then, you know, this part of it, I will tell this part because this is funny. We already talked about it enough with that. But Macon was on the way to where we were going to go hunt. And it was my turn to drive. We had to get gas. I was driving Tom's car. So every time we stop at a gas station, Tom records his mileage in the gas and everything in this little journal in his glove compartment because he's that anal retentive about it. And he's like, if you buy a car from Tom, you're getting the full history. So he's writing it. He's like, oh, we made pretty good time. I made good gas. And, you know, he's writing in it and he's got his, we're in a bad part of town. It's not a good part of Macon at all. Yeah, there was shady everywhere. And I'm oblivious because I'm just oblivious. And I get out and I need to stretch and I got to go to the bathroom. And Tom goes, Tom's got his handgun in the glove compartment but it's in the middle of the seat because just while he's doing it. Cause he said it just wasn't a good part of town. And he goes, hey, Nick, watch my six. Okay. And I said, sure. And I immediately got out of the car. I was walking around the gas pump, saw a Burger King and went, oh, Burger King. And I walked to the Burger King and went to the bathroom and got a burger. And I got back and Tom's just shaking his head. And Tom goes, Nick, watch my six means stay here.
It doesn't mean go to Burger King.
And I was like, oh. But anyway, but again, that's almost unbelievable too. It's like, it's a little this weird stuff, but I guess I bring it on myself.
Oh. I'm anxious to see what else I'm going to uncover. Cause like I said, I've just been cherry picking. I skipped over the old Mulgee hunt. I kind of knew which one that one was, but
oh, you'll love it.
But anyway, it's been fun. It's been fun remembering fond stories.
Oh yeah. And I mean, John, you're in a lot of it. John Buchine's in a lot of it. Rob Jones is in a lot of it. Jamie's in quite a bit of it. There's a lot of people in there. And I got some fishing stories in there too. And then one from my youth too. The fishing stories though, they go right together. And you know, it's funny because I'm like, I got to work this in here because I love to fly fish and these are just too good to pass up. And it was all the same characters that are in all the other ones. So I'm like, okay, we got to put that in there. But I really thought, man, do I want to put fly fishing in here? Because I heard, you know, some people say, well, I don't fly fish and all this other stuff. But I'm like, I didn't either. And this is my segue into it. So anyway, yeah, I had a lot of fun writing these stories, but. Anyway, hey, speaking of stories, though, you owe me a story.
Yeah,
we started talking about Damn It Carl, and then you never told the story. You got to tell the story.
Yeah, poor Carl. So I got to tell you a little backstory that I'll definitely give you the rundown on Carl. So I've been having a lot of fun with Damn It Carl on Facebook. I know people have seen posts that are friends with me that are probably going to listen to this that saw posts about Damn It Carl and were left scratching their head. So with that said, if you're one of those people, you're getting ready to hear the full story. And then I'll also include why I've been posting this stuff on Facebook. So, you know, I think we were talking about it last week, Nick, my brother. Historically, my brother's really not gotten to do a lot of hunting. He still farms with my dad, works with my dad, and love my dad to death. But, you know, he's growing up, he would always say there's a time for work and there's a time for play. What he didn't tell you is there's a lot more time for work and a lot less time for play, or at least in his mind. But for various reasons, that I won't go into. He's had to cut way back on the farming. You know, I grew up, it was a tobacco farm. That was what put food on the table. And that's gone the wayside. So with that, my brother actually got to a good bit more hunting this year. And because he knew he was going to get to a good bit more hunting, he put more thought into it. He put more planning into it. You know, he's listened to me talk a lot more in the last year and a half, 2 years than I'd really had time for before that. And I've been, you know, sharing things that I do. And, you know, I think in the back of his mind, he was going, well, you know, if this guy can get close enough to shoot him with a stick, then, you know, I might want to try some of the things he's doing and see if I can get a little closer myself. But, like I said, he actually shot a really nice buck, this past year with a bow. And so it paid off for him. However, part of that was they put cameras out, him and his wife. I should say him and his wife. His wife's name is Stephanie. They put a lot of cameras out. And so, you know, he's sharing stories about photos that he got on camera all year long. And they were naming some of these deer. I think they named one of them Big Mac, and one of, I don't remember all the damn names, but they were just giving them these crazy, silly names.
Sure.
And when gun season rolled around, I think they had seen Carl on camera too, but when gun season rolled around is when his wife Stephanie started hunting with him. And they had some, I know they had at least one, they may have had a couple of ladder stands, they had a couple of blinds that they would hunt in together. And when Mike hunted by himself, if he had an opportunity, he would shoot something. If it was the two of them together, they would both have firearms, but he would help Stephanie, or he would wait on Stephanie to take the shot, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about their gun season opens up somewhere early November. So you're talking about a couple of months by the time this is all over with, and they were going hunting quite a bit. A lot of days in the afternoons, a lot of weekends. And they had this situation where they would have does come out into the field and they would be sitting there watching does. And then this janky, puny runt, whatever you want to call him, little buck that had a fork on one side and a spike on the other. So he's a 3-point with horns that kind of look like a cow horn spike. But one of them had 2 points. And this joker would come out in the field, and they nicknamed him Carl. So he would come out, and he would chase the does. He'd run the does out of the field. And, you know, they're sitting there watching, and in some cases wanting to, you know, shoot a doe to put in the freezer. And along comes Carl. And this went on and on and on. So after the first few encounters, whenever they would be sitting there watching these deer, Carl would come into the field, and damn it, Carl. that's where it came from, right? Well, damn it, Carl's here again. Damn it, Carl. Anyway, so this goes on and on. Well, Stephanie had a blind that she pretty much hunted by herself, and I know where it's at. I know the people that own the farm, and I've hunted quite a bit myself, but that was kind of – it was unspoken as being her spot, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many times she would go hunting, and she'd send Mike a text and say, well, I had some does, and – before I could really get a shot, damn it, Carl came in and ran everything off. And this literally lasted for a couple of months on a regular basis. So flash forward, I have pretty much hunted my last time up there. I ran out of tagged out. And Mike, I can't remember. I think Mike may have tagged out as well. But I know Stephanie still had some tags, and she still had some doe tags. Well, she had both. So she had shot one buck, and I think she'd shot a doe or two. Don't hold me to that. I can't remember. But I know she still had doe tags, and she had a buck tag. And her and Mike are hunting on this same farm one afternoon. It may have been the last day of the season. I can't remember. And I got all this secondhand because I wasn't there. But they're in this stand together. It's cold. It's getting dark, and they've got these does coming out in the field, and one of them's a pretty good sized doe. And so Stephanie has decided if this doe gives her a shot, she's going to take it and get one more deer in the freezer before the season closes. And they're sitting there watching, and it's getting later day, and lo and behold, here comes Carl. And, you know, he's running around chasing these poor does like a puppy with two feeders. He's running all over the field, and the does are going into the field, and then they'll see one come running out of the field, and shortly after that, Carl's right on their heels, you know, and they keep watching this, and they keep watching this, and every time Stephanie thinks she's going to get a shot, Carl comes busting in and busts everything up, and they're running out everywhere. Well, it's getting down to the last few minutes of shooting light, and this doe walks out in the field, and it's the big doe that she was wanting to shoot. And she's sitting there going, you know, I think I can make this shot. It's a long shot. Mike's kind of coaching her and says, yeah, you can make the shot. You know, go ahead. If you feel comfortable, go ahead and take the shot. So she gets lined up, and she's trying to squeeze the last few minutes of light out, and she squeezes the trigger, and pow, you know, shot rings out, and they can't tell what's happened. You know, it's like I said, it's last light. So they sit there a few minutes, and they let it finally just get pitch black dark, and Mike helps her out of the ladder stand. They get down on the ground, and they walk over to, or they head over to where they think the doe is, and they walk up on it. And as they walk up, Mike stops and he turns around to Stephanie. He says, well, I got good news and I got bad news. And Steph said, what do you mean? He says, well, the good news is it's dead. It's right there. And he shined the light on it. And he said, the bad news is it's Carl. So... in the chaos of all this... she's sitting there and she's focusing on thinking this doe has come back out in the field, and she never even looked, right? So she had to fill her last buck tag with a little 3-point Carl. Well, ever since then, of course, me being me, everything that comes up, you know, and there's been things on Facebook, like I literally found this picture of this scruggly looking little 3-point and just made a cover picture for Facebook for a day that said damn it Carl on it. Everything, and you'll see some of this too, so if you're most people don't read through posts, but Stephanie posted something on Facebook like 2 weeks ago, and she was upset because she'd gone to Taco Bell and they had screwed her order up and all this. And anyway, it was posted different things about what was wrong. And I was like, well, I know what was wrong. Damn it, Carl. You know, it's just, so we just will not let it die. Right. So every time we turn around, we're just sticking it to Stephanie. And I've already got other things planned. You know me, you're oh, Mr. Yeah. Major Award. I've got something really good planned for this coming fall. Just to pay homage to Carl. But anyway, so that's the, if anybody has seen me posting things on Facebook or making comments on Facebook with my family about damn it, Carl, now that's the story. Poor Carl didn't make it.
God, I wish that were mine.
But that's just typical. That's, and you'd have to know my brother too. You bet my brother just for a brief period of time once.
I met him it was a somber time, but
it was.
He's always got the same look on his face. And I'm always like,
he does.
I think he hates me.
Yeah, he's always, so yeah, I'm bound and determined I'm going to get him to smile for the trout fishing trip in April, North Carolina this year. But yeah, he's always got a scowl on his face, but he'll come up with things that just, and it's, I could sit here and relay it, but it's not as funny as when he finds to interject these little nuggets of humor. And when I say nuggets, he'll come up with things that are just so short. And sometimes it just takes you a minute to figure out what he's just done to you. And then you can't help but laugh. My dad's approaching 80 years old, and I've seen the man slam on brakes and tell him, that's it, get out. You know, has had his fill of him. But anyway,
Yeah.
Hopefully you'll get to meet him and spend some time with him. Maybe even this fall. If you come down for hunting,
I'd like to do that.
I decide to do it in North Carolina.
I really want to try to make that happen because, yeah, I'd like to meet him. I'd like to meet Amy. I'd like to meet Stephanie. I'd like to meet everybody. So that'd be fun. A lot of fun.
Well, man, we need to wrap this one up because I actually was trying to keep this one at 30 minutes. Now it's approaching 40. Well, it's actually over 45 now. So real quick before we go, where can folks get your book? I do want to get that in there.
You can get both of my books, Life and Longbows and Clumsy Predators, at lifeandlongbows.com. And there's signed copies available there. And there's a package deal where you can get both for $35, and that's with shipping. Otherwise, they're $20 with shipping, both of them. And then they're also on Amazon, and you get them on Amazon too. That's fine with me. Just look them up by title, Clumsy Predators, Life and Longbows. And if you do buy it on Amazon, please leave a review because, honestly, I just like to read the reviews.
At least you're honest.
If you don't like them, keep it to your damn self. I don't want you to put...
when you think the hardcover will be available?
Well, the thing with Amazon is they don't stock anything. So it's print on demand. So because we've never done a hardcover, we wanted to order proofs first. So the proofs aren't coming till March. So I got to wait till March to see what it looks like. And I'm half tempted just to order some and just say to hell with it and just see how they look. Because they'll get here faster than the proof will because I actually ordered them. So I'm debating on it. I'm like, if I order a few, you know, and they don't end up working out, oh, well, I'm out a little bit. But at least I've got them because I want to do the hardcover with the glossy inside and the color photos. So I think that'd be a trip. So anyway, I'll keep you guys posted on that. But if I get them, I'll just have them as a special thing and I'll order a certain quantity of them and that'll be fun.
All right. Sounds good. Well, buddy, I appreciate it. I enjoyed it. I'm not sure what we'll get together and chat about next, but it'll be something entertaining. So
we'll find something.
Yep. For everybody listening, thanks for joining in, and we'll have another episode coming your way real soon. Take care, all.